Hi there. Thank you. Real quickly, I wanted to just say this also included co-authors Dr. Black, Dr. Hager, and Dr. Harrington, who helped me a good bit, not just in preparing for the presentation, but in conceptualizing throughout this project. Also, there's some funding to acknowledge the National Institute of Child and Human Development Birch Award through the National Institute of Child and Health Development, and also University of Maryland School of Social Work dissertation funding. So first, I know we've talked a little bit about this, so I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on this, but food insecurity in U.S. households are a huge issue, in particular in households with children. Overall, among children, food insecurity is linked with poor health, poor nutrition, difficulties with education, cognitive and social-emotional development. And among adults, it's also linked with poor health, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and elevated weight status. So the purpose of this study, or this component, was to determine whether or not a cumulative risk model and food insecurity were related among a high-risk population in an urban setting. Using a theoretical framework, I used a cumulative risk model, which looks at covariation of risk among the participants. So what it does is it takes the idea of whether or not outcomes are linked with an increased number of risk factors, regardless of which risk factors are present, given the idea that the relationship between the risk factors add up in a cumulative way, or rather amplify each other. An additional piece of that is that it also contributes to statistical parsimony in the multivariate model. So based on a review of the literature and the data that were available to me, I included 7 overall risk factors. So among sociodemographics, looking at household composition, marital status, education, and employment. Psychosocial included depression and stress, and behavioral included smoking. The original model also included race and poverty, but when I get to the sample, you'll see it was predominantly African American and predominantly low income. And so given the homogeneity of the sample, it made sense to stick with just these 7 factors, since most of the participants had those 2 additional risk factors calculated in. So the hypothesis was that a higher cumulative risk score would be related to a heightened risk of family food insecurity. The data came from a study that's Challenge in Middle Schools, which is a health promotion trial that is among 6th and 7th grade girls in an urban, low-income, predominantly African-American setting. The schools, there were 22 schools across the city, and these data that are presented here come from the baseline data of the study. In addition to data that were collected from the adolescent girls who participated, there was also data that were collected from the caregivers, specifically food security status and a variety of sociodemographic variables that go into that cumulative risk model. So out of the 789 students that participated in the health promotion study, there were 450 caregivers who we had complete data, who had a child that had continued on in the study. So there were a handful that initially completed some of the data but then didn't follow through with the study for randomization. They were predominantly mothers, predominantly African American, and either living at or below poverty guidelines or receiving some sort of public assistance that indicated low income for the family, particularly cash assistance and the parental receipt of Medicaid. About half of the population was designated as being at risk for being food insecure. A little bit about how this was measured. Food insecurity was measured using the 2-item brief screening tool that looked at whether or not families were food secure or at risk for being food insecure based on either worrying about running out of food or actually running out of food. The cumulative risk scale, and I'm going to get into a little more detail of what that looks like in just a moment, but it was based on the data that was reported by the caregivers. It ranged in score from 0 to 7. And specific measures besides the demographic that were included in the scale included the perceived stress scale and the Beck depression inventory. Overall, cumulative risk index was made up of these 7 items. So for each participant, They were designated as either being at low risk based on that particular variable or high risk. For each variable that they received or were designated as high risk, they received a score of 1, and that score was tallied for the possible 7 points. Looking at the relationship of each of the risk factors, so each of these risk factors have an established association in prior literature. In this particular sample, education, smoking, stress, and depression were the variables that had a bivariate association with food security status. So data analysis, we used a logistic regression model to look at food secure versus at risk of being food insecure. Cumulative risk index was the predictor, and also receipt of food assistance was included as a control variable as well. So about 60% of the sample was receiving either SNAP or WIC, but most of them were receiving SNAP. Just a small percentage were receiving WIC. So initially, overall, the mean cumulative risk score was just about 2.7, so 2.68, with a slightly higher, about 3/4 of a point higher for the food insecure participants, and this was a statistically significant difference. If you take a look at how the risk factors pan out over the number of risk factors present, we can see that about 3/4 of the sample had 3 or less risk factors, but there was nearly 1/4 of the sample that had 4 or more risk factors present out of that list of 7. In terms of an unadjusted logistic regression model, each additional point was associated with an increase in the odds of being food insecure by 46%. And when adding food assistance into the model and using those who were, those who were receiving food assistance were the reference group, it did decrease the risk of being food insecure, or rather the odds, but still there was an increased risk of being food insecure by 32%. And we can see that for those who were not receiving benefits, either because they weren't eligible or for whatever reason, they had lower odds of being food insecure. So it did. We did some digging into that and found that a lot of what was driving that was really income. So those who were receiving food assistance were, regardless of eligibility, they did have the highest rate of poverty out of the group, or rather the lowest income. So overall, if we take a look at prior literature that looks at cumulative risk, using a cumulative risk model, it's predominantly been based in child health and well-being. And in all of the prior research reviewed, there was an association, regardless of which risk factors were present, that as the number of risk factors increase, so do the odds of whatever the outcome is that's associated. Prior literature did not, or some prior literature included food insecurity as one of the risk factors, but did not include risk or food insecurity as the possible outcome. So this was the first study in terms of being able to take a look at that. So really, when we're thinking about it, though, in terms of which risk factors are present, we need to think about also some of those risk factors aren't necessarily things that we would be seeking to modify at an individual level. So 3 out of the 4 variables that did have an association in this data with food insecurity were modifiable risk factors, so stress, smoking, and depression. And also, those 3 factors have a relationship with each other. So if we start thinking about addressing one with a client or a family, the chance of addressing one may affect some of the other risk factors that are present as well. So sort of thinking about the interplay between those risk factors. In terms of food assistance, it's important to point out, so you know, those families that were receiving food assistance in the multivariate model had the highest risk of food insecurity. However, it's important first to, of course, consider eligibility. We know that it's, you know, based purely on eligibility alone, those who are receiving food assistance are probably going to be having more struggles financially. Also, you know, the way that food security is measured with the 2-item screening tool, really it could be picking up the anxiety around receiving food assistance, right? So just receiving food assistance alone can be anxiety-producing for families. And this, the 2-item screening tool doesn't really, we don't really differentiate between the different levels of food insecurity. Also, it's important to note that the food assistance might be preventing more severe levels of food insecurity, so that some families might be having a decrease in diet, but they're still getting the right amount of calories. All right. Overall, in terms of strengths, it's an understudied area, in particular with looking at food insecurity as an outcome with relation or in relation to a cumulative risk model. Also, it contributes to the idea of using this cumulative risk model. How can we potentially use it in future research? Some limitations, it's cross-sectional in nature, so we can't really infer any causality. It also doesn't distinguish between those who have low or very low food security. Right, so that's something that's important to consider. In terms of working with people and communities, thinking about how we screen, right, and how we screen for things that we can potentially intervene with, right? So in particular, which risk factors are going to potentially have the greatest impact on food insecurity. Also, many of the risk factors that we talked about are related to systemic disparities. So what we do with people at an individual level isn't going to have the same kind of effect as what we might do at the policy level. So although this particular scale did not include race and poverty, those would be ones to consider. Also, for ones that were included, for example, the household composition is an element of gender disparity. So having a female-headed household puts families at an increased risk. So it really points to things that we need to be doing more at a system level rather than thinking about on an individual. And in terms of potential future research, other settings, this occurred in a very urban setting, and it might look very different in a rural setting. Also, considering the use of a cumulative risk scale in a population that's not already deemed as being at high risk might be worth considering. Overall, cumulative risk is a useful way to consider the likelihood of food insecurity. And really, when we're thinking about it, we need to think about the way that those factors interplay and amplify when they're experienced in combination together. Also, from a larger scale perspective, systemic disparity really drives a lot of these risk factors, and policy responses related to those disparities, in particular to race, income, and gender, are things that are really going to probably be the most effective. Preferences. Thank you.